This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
At the club, Club 1080, the hottest spot north.
It's not breaking news, dude.
Thank you very much. I'll be back.
Are we okay?
Yeah, I think so.
Something happened there?
What happened? I feel like the open just went away.
Yeah, just like
there at least
like
in my headset, it
was
did.
Like a pop, and
that's
everything okay?
Yeah, everything was good to me.
Is that a plumber over there?
Not a plumber.
And that'd be an electrician that we need to call.
Yeah. All right,
engineer.
It's the club. We've made it, Monday Club.
Thank God.
You know, well, I've got a story about something called fake a vacation.
This blows my mind.
It shouldn't. It was only a matter of time. I also have a story about living on the high seas to avoid, well, to avoid laws.
Yeah, international waters. Is this to go with the assault case? Is that what you're talking about? There's been one of those that's in the news.
No, I don't think there's assault as part of this story, but
There was a guy that he was accused of sexual assault. I'll try to find the details of it. And so they pulled into port. He was arrested, and they didn't necessarily deny that he forced his way into a woman's cabin and he sexually assaulted her, and they arrested him and went to jail. And then the judge was like, it was in international waters. I don't have any jurisdiction over this. They're like, you're going to have to deal with the country either that he's from or she's from. And they released him, and like he left. He like walked out of court and was like, international waters.
No, this is a story of somebody who actually built. They actually live out there.
Oh, like I'm always under the
impression. But it didn't work.
Well, it's a weird thing because you always hear that, right? We're in international waters. Anything goes. And I always thought that was a bit of a, like, no. But in this case.
Well, no, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
This person built something stationary out there.
You can kind of do whatever you want out there. Monkey knife fights and, like, fireworks all year round. Anything goes.
But that's going to have to wait because we were talking in the club about the zoo train,
yes.
Which may go away. Or at least for the next 3 years not be funded to fully function. And, of course, many locals, not a lot, but locals are upset about that. They have fond memories of the zoo train growing up and maybe taking their kids and hopping on the zoo train.
I just remember years ago, I had never gone as a kid. And I don't think my youngest was born yet, but we took my son and we took my oldest daughter and we went on the zoo train. And I was under the impression, and maybe shame on me for not knowing any better, I assumed that we would see animals, that the zoo train would involve the zoo. I've never been more angry at anything in my life.
Vastly overrated.
It's just like cardboard cutouts, like light-ups of animals. You don't get to see any. I just feel like if zoo is in the title, you get to see animals. And no, you don't.
So that got us to talking about the Shanghai Tunnel tours that they run, which are, I think, the most overrated thing you could possibly do here. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Save your money. And it's only like $10. which should tell you right there. It's like, oh. So what are the most overrated and underrated things to do in Portland?
I'm putting number one at the zoo train. Like, I've had people be like,
no,
oh.
You haven't been on the, I'm telling you.
I have not done
the Shanghai Tunnel thing is worse than the zoo train. It's worse. It's more overrated. Trust me.
Okay. The other one that I find to be grossly overrated, too, that was the Pittock Mansion, right? Like, it was like, oh, the views. I couldn't have been more bored by that. Like, it's a cool view, and then, like, yeah. You walk around an old house, and I'm
with you.
It's like $50.
No.
It's not cheap.
To walk through that thing?
Yeah.
No way.
Yes. I'm gonna look that up.
I've just driven up there. I've never been inside of it.
They have, like, guided tours of it?
Yeah.
50 geets?
Yeah, it's not cheap to go there.
Holy hell.
That was another one where I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, I think that, I'm saying this as somebody who was not from here. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place.
1,000 cool things to do here.
And we all know that. But I feel like they try a little too hard with the bullet point sites / things to do, you know, like those lists.
Yeah.
Like I feel like none of those things are great. What's great about this area are things like maybe some of these are on the list, but like going out to the wineries or like catching a show, go to a Timbers game. That's very Portland. Is that ever going to be on a list like that? Like, I feel like a lot of the stuff that's on lists like that are manufactured things. Like, oh, we've got to have tourist attractions, and they're kind of a stretch. You know, like Oaks Park is on those stupid lists.
I know.
It's like, that's not like what? Why would you send tourists there? You know what I mean?
I think a lot of cities are like this. That if you saw the things to do list, it wouldn't take you long to get down and be like, what the hell? But it's.
Just think we're changing in like those lists are just dumb now.
Yes.
Like you don't, there's just so much, there are just so many more things that are better to do that aren't ever going to show up on those lists.
But at the same time, like we always talk about like the falls or going on hikes, like those are wonderful things.
Well, those are great. The outdoors, I mean, like you can't, if you just put outdoor, if you said, okay, what do I do when I go to Oregon? Outdoors. Go to the coast. Go to Hood, go to Multnomah Falls. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't go wrong with that. I'm talking about these things like just these sort of manufactured experiences like the zoo train or like...
The zoo itself is actually good. We have a really zoo good
lights.
Zoo. Yes.
You know, these types of things I don't know, they're just so...
Like, I think the Rose Garden is really beautiful to go see. I think, like you said, Timbers, Blazer
now,
Game.
Now, the Rose Garden's on there.
Yeah, I like the Japanese.
Those are always on the...
I think that's a great... Like, as long as you're going with someone, like, if it's like you and me going, you're probably going to be bored. But that's a great date, like, during the summer or springtime. Take the lady up there. It's a wonderful...
Hit a good farmer's market. You know, OMSI's good.
Uh-huh. OMSI, farmer's market, the grotto, I think, like, during Christmas time, I think is a fun place to go.
Yeah, I find that overrated, too.
Why, like, going to all the different wineries that we have, go do a wine tasting tour. It's a thousand good things to do.
But Voodoo Donuts,
here.
Give me a break.
I know. Like, you get here and
get that off the list.
Exactly.
Why is that
that's what I was going to say,
go
too.
Go stand in
I
line
know
for
that
an
was
hour.
Cool to say or not, but Voodoo, incredibly overrated.
Oh, no question.
Right out.
I guess maybe you need to go to it once and check out the weird designs of donuts, but the taste itself, no.
Pirate's Cove.
Go hit the food carts. Pirate's Cove or the strip. Go on a strip club tour.
There you go.
We're known for those.
Just maybe.
Why do those never make the list?
Just maybe skip the Pirate's Cove.
Yeah, that probably shouldn't be on there. Although some of the fun of the strip clubs here are just how bad they are.
Yes. And to me, if
it's fascinating.
If
they try to one up each other.
If you want to see how bad it can get, I challenge anyone to find something worse than the Pirate's Cove. I will throw down that gauntlet. Find me something worse than the Pirate's Cove. So maybe that's why you should go check it out.
You know, you got the beer and the food and all that stuff too.
Yeah, food carts. The food carts are great.
Food carts.
It's a great city to wander around.
And the zoo is good, but it's just the zoo. Like, you know.
Yeah, you don't need to do the train. Yeah,
just go
to the zoo.
See the animals.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
What's that, Saturday market? You know, go down there in the summer. Fun place to wander around,
yeah,
see all the
wander around,
see the creatures.
Yeah. So do you have a list over there, or?
Oh, the list of what, like on TripAdvisor?
I mean, I thought you were saying that you were going to talk about the overrated and underrated things to do in Portland.
Yeah, so the top attraction is the Rose Garden, according to TripAdvisor. And I do not feel that the number one and number two is the Rose Test Garden and the Japanese Garden. And I do not think that either one of those is overrated. I think those are...
I wouldn't call them overrated.
I think those are legit. And then we get to...
I don't know if they're number one.
And then we get to the Pittock Mansion. Yeah. I think that is grossly overrated. What else we got? The Grotto's on there. Mm. Willamette Valley.
Just there you go.
Yeah.
Wine Tour.
Wine Tour.
Yeah.
Oregon Zoo is on there.
That's good.
Yeah, I think is legit. Portland Art Museum.
Yeah.
Portland Saturday Market.
Yeah.
The St. John's Bridge.
What?
Yeah, that's
I mean, it's
on
cool.
There. I guess it's on there. Alberta Street.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Very Portland.
Mount Tabor Park.
Overrated.
OMSI's on there. Top 15. Yeah. I think OMSI's is legit. They got the Pearl District, the Aerial Tram.
Pearl District.
Yeah, Portland
the
Farmers.
Tram?
Yeah, Portland Farmers Market.
I mean, it's all right. I mean, it's not too bad, I
no.
guess.
I think actually on that list of things, I think there's a lot of... I think the vast majority of stuff on there is pretty solid. Where if you were visiting the city for the first time and you picked those things, you would not be disappointed in that. As opposed to if you went to Oaks Park or the train. I'm putting that maybe one or two on my list of things that are way overrated that people always say you have to do in Portland.
Underrated.
Underrated? I would say that you don't get enough of the... I think going to a Blazer or a Timber game, because it's not known as a great sports city, and I'm not just saying that because we're sports. I think those are great. If you any Timbers game, and if you go to the right Blazer game, that is a great experience to see passionate fans.
I think Forest Park is a special place.
Yeah, I can't...
Like right in the middle of the city, a big old park like that where you can just hop up there and like... feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I think that's awesome.
The other one for me that I think is underrated is just the food cart scene. I think there's a, like, if you just go into the middle of town and you wander around, I think there's a, you can spend a real fun day in Portland just cruising around the middle of the city and seeing like all the different, I don't know. I just think it's a very good downtown culture, and starting with the food carts. I just think that's a really cool part of our city.
I went on timeout.com. I don't know what that is, but I clicked on it. The 20 best things to do in Portland. You mm-hmm. know what the top two things are?
What do you got?
Number one, Shanghai tunnels. Number two, Voodoo Donut.
See, that's ridiculous. That's one and two.
Jonathan Thompson wrote that.
That's
unbelievable.
That's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, people say the food in general underrated.
Yes.
There you go. The
how about this?
It's a
how
great
about,
food city.
How about the freaking... all these new, like, really cool hotels.
Yeah.
Go downtown, take the wifey, get a hotel for a night, eat some nice food.
Great place to walk around.
Some of those hotel bars are great.
Good people viewing.
Yeah, walk around, and then, take a day, go out wine tasting. Now, of course, mine's booze-centric. But
there you go.
But, you know.
Yeah, there's other things you can do.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be focused around that.
All right, how about this? It was only a matter of time. Fake a vacation next on The Fan.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
I'm going to kick some butt in the traffic, the roads, road. I'm going to kick some ass in the ass. I'm going to kick a little ass. Rock, flat, and eagle.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Double sun power!
All right, are you looking to live the glamorous life, Jace? The well-traveled life?
Absolutely, man. Not really. I just want people to think my life is better than theirs, because that really seems to be what anyone cares about now. It's not a matter of going places.
Stirring
it's just,
envy amongst your Instagram followers.
Yeah, if you don't post it on Instagram, did it really happen?
But if you can't afford it, there is now something just for you. and it is a Nebraska-based photo editing service named Fake a Vacation. And it lets users send snapshots to them superimposed onto fake backgrounds. And then you post it to social media. Options include a sandy beach in Maui, the rushing waters of Niagara Falls, and even the Grand Canyon at sunset. And it may seem like a joke, but lying about travel is a far more common practice than you may think. I have a study. Are you ready?
I can't believe that this is the thing, but yes, I'm ready for the study.
So they surveyed 4,000 American adults over the age of 18.
Okay.
And according to this study, what percent do you think said that they've lied about their flashy vacations?
Define, like, so you're saying you went somewhere, or you're saying that it was nicer than it really was? Like, what constitutes lying about a vacation?
Well, they're saying that, there really isn't a standard, like,
okay, so
I
just,
can't tell you.
You lied about your vacation. What percent? Like, 20%?
It's not this. It's not that you totally lied about going a place. You said you were going somewhere that you didn't go.
Yeah.
Or you were embarrassed about where you actually went, so you said you went somewhere else.
Sure. A 20% maybe?
14% said they lied. 10% of that pool even went the extra mile to post a fake photo on social media. 10%.
That just...
The reason? Participants claimed they felt embarrassed and wanted to impress others, such as the parent of the friends or partners and colleagues.
Okay, so you don't want anyone to know that for spring break you went to, or you didn't go anywhere, you went to Omaha, so you post a picture of yourself in Hawaii, or just a random beach, like you go to like Savi Island and you take a photo of the water and you're like, it's a great time in Mexico.
Tom Ida is the marketing and support leader for Fake a Vacation. He says they fake it sometimes because the actual vacation is too expensive, so they plan this way, or sometimes they do it to just make others envious.
I'm going to start doing this. I don't post a lot on Instagram or Twitter for that matter. I'm just going to start crudely Photoshopping.
Every day.
Every day. Hey, guys, just hopped on a plane real quick. God. Here I am.
Top of a jet setter.
I am everywhere.
Just yesterday, he was in Hawaii.
Now I'm in Mount Fuji. You don't know where I'm going to be next. Mount Fuji? Where in the world? It's going to be like a Where's Waldo thing. Where is Sook?
The need was there, and it got... Tom speaking to us still. He says the need was there. And as we get more social media platforms, he says, they have two more products in the works to serve the market. On fakeatrip.com, that specifically caters to celebrities and influencers. And they'll launch that by the end of the year. The other is in its early phases, and it's getmemotivated.com, which will create travel-related images for customers who are looking for trip inspiration.
This is the most...
And you order your package online. That's what she said. And once it's processed, they receive a link to send in the photos, and their staff suggests attire to wear in the pictures. So they say, hey, wear this. And then we'll put you in there. And it's only $20.
That just blows my mind. I guess it's cheap, but...
$20 and they'll get it to you in 3 days. You can post it on Instagram and feel better about yourself.
I guess. This whole weird Instagram culture, it fascinates me. We talk about this before, like with grief. I always find that fascinating. Like when someone dies, like the first thing is you gotta go to Instagram. Or... when the Notre Dame Cathedral burned down in Paris, right? Everyone has to rush out to Instagram and put their photo of them out in front of it. It's like, hey, by the way, this is burning down. And I was there. Yeah. It's just this weird... Who are we competing against?
Or Fake a Vacation put me there.
Yeah. Like, I get for the social media influencers, like, that's your job, right? You get paid for likes and clicks and all that. But for the average schmuck that's just running around... I don't understand that. Like, what? Who are you competing against? Like, what? It's like an illness. I swear to God, it's an addiction. It's like the new heroin.
Well,
like, we're addicted to likes and clicks.
I deleted Facebook, as did you.
Yes.
We're not on Facebook. Facebook's the worst of all of them, I think. But I've always liked Instagram in a sense that Instagram's clean. People are civil. Like, it's just, you know, it's pretty harmless. It's just pictures of people doing what they do.
Sure.
But at the same time, while I think that about Instagram, I have recently deleted my Instagram account too.
You're done?
I'm out on that. And it's not because I didn't like it. It's just I never knew what to post. And it's
me neither.
And you know, you scroll through it. I'm like, it's the same people. You know, I don't know. Anybody, I would like it to be more personal contact with any of the people that I'm viewing on there, right? It's like, I have their numbers, most of them. So if I want to, like, I've got friends that recently moved to Massachusetts. So I see them walking their dog on there. I'm like, that's great. Like, that's, I see what they're up to. Like, sure. I miss them, whatever. But then I was talking to her about that. And I'm like, well, I have your number. I would like my interaction. I don't want to, like, be a voyeur and watch you walk your dog. I want to interact with you. So I'm going, if I feel the need to interact with you, or I'm saying, you know, I miss her right now, I'm going to text her. Novel concept, right? And it's and it's going to be a more personal interaction. And that's how I've decided to move forward with, now I am on, you know, Twitter is a little bit more, is a little different. I like Twitter. But it's for the show, right? Like, it's,
sure,
you know, and then you get your news on there. It's a little different social media platform, but I'm not on Snapchat. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook. And I can tell you what, my life's better for it. I don't miss any of it.
I always feel like, because at the station, they're always telling us, right, to be more active on social media, be more active on social media, right? Share yourself. Your listeners want it. I always feel really uncomfortable, though, sharing. I just, it makes me feel like a real poser. To put photos of, like, my vacation out there. I've never gotten over that where I feel comfortable doing it. Even when I do post something, which isn't very often,
Yeah, don't you have to be, like a little full of yourself be posting, like, on there prolifically?
I feel that way. And for some people, I get, they love it, and the people get something out of it, and you get something back. I just lack that, I lack that gene. Like, I'll sit there on vacation and I'll see something, you know, beautiful. I'm like, I'll take a picture and I'll post that. And then I'm like, why?
I think from the millennial side of it, as I can weigh
in. How old are you?
When you're 25. So, like, we don't use Facebook anymore, to be honest. Like, we really don't.
That's it's the old.
Yeah, it's
old. It's all my grandma and grandpa.
And arguing about politics.
My parents. People reposting Fox News articles. The Instagram is a great way to see what people are doing, like, you know, every day. Like, people my age are like, hey, this is what I'm doing at work today.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, it's kind of a cool way to, like, look and see what other people are doing.
And I totally get
that.
I find it to be worthwhile in that way. It's like, I mean, it's harmless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because people are very civil on there. It's not like on Twitter where you get the trolls and people are like, stupid picture, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you're an idiot. You know, it's like, it's just, everybody's just cool on there, but at the same time, I'm with Suki in the sense that, like, it's really hard to know what to, like, I don't go through my day thinking what to post. Like, I'm eating, look at how pretty that plate of chicken I'm eating looks. I'm going to post that on.
Yeah.
It just is so far from my.
I feel like such a douche canoe. Like, if you post something from, like, the, like, you're leaving, I know the gym workout one is a big one, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's always you see those all the time. Leaving
like
the
story,
gym.
Not the post, but the story.
The story, right? They're always having, like, a video.
Why?
I don't know, but that seems to be, like, a big thing. Like, the idea of me, like, posting a video of me working out. Mm-hmm. Like, does anyone want to see me deadlift something?
I think people would.
No.
Like,
they don't. I disagree, Preston.
I'm setting up a camera.
No one cares.
Like, I see this all the time at my gym. And people will set up, like, the camera in front of them, and then they record themselves lifting something.
Yeah,
like,
that's weird.
I would be mortified.
Here's the question: as you go about your day, how much of it is Instagram worthy? Truly,
like, none of it.
Right, and see, that's where I think Preston is saying with the younger people, they don't view it that way. They view it as, this is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
It's like Snapchat on Instagram, like, basically. Instagram just destroyed Snapchat.
It's more like it's just instant top of mind, like,
yeah,
you know, funny a quip or whatever, and then move on.
But they do post the highlights on there. Like, the actual post is like, you know, hey, this was me on my vacation or whatever, which gives people kind of an unrealistic description of what that person's life is actually
about.
Well,
I love vacation pictures. I can't get enough of people's vacation pictures. But I can get enough of people's everyday,
yeah,
just mundane, like,
this is me.
I think my favorite part is either following athletes, or also there are people who, like, explore cities or whatever. You know, they blog about cities. And there are people who like, are all about Portland who post, like, really cool pictures of, hey, look at this new restaurant. And
well, now,
I'll see that and be like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I'll try that.
Well, I'm in on that in a sense that, like, if you're on Instagram with really thoughtful stuff, like, every one of your posts is funny, or it's interesting, or it's like, oh, look what I came across. I was like, oh, that's weird. I've never seen that, or whatever.
Yeah.
But how on earth do you do that 24/7? Like, my life's way too normal and uninteresting for that.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is I think that's what more and more people want, is just the everyday.
Like, and some people are good at it.
Mundane stuff.
And this is another problem with social media, I think, is that some people are really good at it, but most people aren't.
Yeah.
And so when you are on there, say Instagram, and you're scrolling through, the only people you ever see are the people that are good at it. And it's like 5 people out of 1,000 that you want to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, then it's too much.
See, it's
from
funny,
one side.
Everyone is saying that, like, you post on there because you're insecure. I don't post because I think I'm insecure that what I'm posting is douchey. It's like I have a reverse insecurity. Like, people are like, well, like me, so I'm going to post everything on there. Mine's the exact opposite. I'm more of, my God, why would anyone want to watch what I'm doing right now or see a photo of what I'm doing? And I don't want to subject you to it, so I won't. So maybe it's all an insecurity thing, and I just have a different insecurity than most
people. You
know
what? I think you and I are just olds.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, like, the young people just view it differently, and that's fine. That's how they grew up. That's their world. But, and I think that if we grew up, if we were 25, I think we'd be talking the same way as
possible
the young people.
Someone
because
said, this
it's
is
part of their this, it's their currency, like, it's how, yeah, they it's, communicate.
This guy says, this is going to be the largest group of narcissists we have ever seen. Yeah, I believe that. I think you are raising,
do you think that, let's go to the kids,
a generation of people that
Preston,
are
do you think
built
that?
On that.
What do you mean? Do you think, like, we're going to be negative and cynical about,
no, narcissists, like, fully yourself?
Oh,
like, just, oh, look at me.
I think some people are falling into that trap. Yeah, I really do. And I think some people do things, like, it's a running joke, like, do it for the gram. Like, some people do things for the gram. They'll go on a hike and wear the nicest clothes they have, or, what, you know, the nicest hiking clothes. Maybe that's not a great example, but they'll go to a restaurant and wear, like, just dress up way more than they normally would, and they're quote, doing it for the gram.
Well, when we were on the beach.
The plumbers didn't do that back in the day, but.
We were at.
The simpler time.
We were sitting at this beach bar. We were on, when we were in Costa Rica, we were sitting at this beach bar, and the sun was starting to go down. It was this beautiful thing, right? Just gorgeous. Costa, you know, right on the you know, coastal waters there, and just,
oh, yeah,
this, you know, it was a beautiful scene. And I started laughing because you just looked across the sand, and as far as you could see from one end of the beach to the other, guess what you saw as the sun was going down?
Boyfriends taking pictures of their girlfriends for,
yep,
the Instagram.
That's
the
just hots. You just looked just up and down the beach, and that's all you saw. I just started,
oh, yeah,
laughing, and I was like, yep, that's,
well,
the sun going down. Let's all rush. We got to get our photos in.
Well, I do think that you get a setting like that, there's room for both. Like, every once in a while, like, it's like if you're traveling, there's a,
yeah,
really cool picture.
That's
like,
great.
Wow, that's beautiful. I'm going to snap a picture, and then you put your phone away, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can do both.
I just was laughing because I was sitting there, like, and you were, like, on the swing and kind of rocking back and forth. And then I just kind of looked up and I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's that time of day. Everyone got to get their picture in. And how many, like, you know, those were instantly edited and posted. It was like, got to get it. This is the best time of the day. Got to get these shots.
There are blooper videos all over the place of, like, Instagram girls falling when a wave crashes into them or something, you know? There are blooper reels at this point of that happening.
Man. Good times.
I'm just going to start posting photos with no, like, no explanation to them of just random parts of my day. Just see how many people I can piss off. Just, like, overpose Darren Revellet.
Oof. Please don't. Might have to mute you.
This picture of the dash of my car for no reason.
All right. What is next? taking to the high seas to avoid.
I'm on board with this. I kind of want to know about international waters.
To avoid laws. This is a story that I think you'll like. Coming up next.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
We just stepped out of the shower. He'll be down in a minute.
All right, listen, you guys can't go. Did you just say we?
What?
Did you just say we just stepped out of the shower?
I said he.
Right, okay.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Double Sun Power!
All right, I've got a little bit of a bizarre story here for you guys.
Taken to the seas.
Yeah, this is a couple that could face the death penalty. This is in Thailand.
Oh, boy.
Over seasteading.
Over what?
Well, taken to the high seas.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was a term.
Seasteading, yeah.
Like homestead, but
yeah,
with the sea?
Seasteading.
Okay.
So a dream to live at sea has left an American Bitcoin investor and his Thai partner in hot water with officials in Thailand. And the two may face life in prison or death over violating the country's sovereignty.
Oh.
Thai authorities raided a floating home on Thursday in the Andaman Sea.
Sure.
Am I pronouncing that right? Belonging to Chad and Suprani, known as Nadia.
Known as Chad? Of course Chad's involved. Damn Chad.
Who sought to be pioneers in the seasteading movement, which promotes living in international waters to be free of any nation's laws. The couple had gone into hiding earlier this week, with Chad claiming Monday in a Facebook post that has since been deleted that Thailand wants us killed. Hunting us down to our death is just plain stupid and highlights exactly the reason some would be willing to go out to the middle of the ocean to get away from governments. We never had any ill intentions, and I even state plainly several times that I would not want to be a citizen of any seastead nation that would have me.
Can I tell you, I think it's awesome if we had just a bunch of floating independent, like, it's just the world of ROP. So your own little independent,
well, this,
you know, community.
There is a floating, like, I'd never heard of this before, and this is out, like, okay, so let me see where this is.
This is like, what's that movie? I guess it's not, like, necessarily that, but the, what's that movie with Leo, The Island or whatever? They build their own utopia out there on the island.
The beach?
Yeah, the beach.
The beach, yeah.
Where, like, anything goes. It's like, you just got your own little world.
This couple had been living part-time on a small structure that they said was anchored to the seafloor outside of Thailand's territorial waters. They said it's over 12 nautical miles from shore. And they show a picture of it here. I don't know what the hell that thing is. Like, it's just, it's like, it's like, it's not a home, but they call it a floating home.
Huh.
Like, look at this. What is that?
It looks like
Something that was built for.
Yeah, if I saw that out there, I would think that it was just like some sort of research, like lighthouse,
right?
Buoy,
and it's
sort
not
of thing.
Not big, but it's clearly. I mean, it's stationary.
Yeah, chained to the ground. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
Well, I don't know, chained, but it's, you know.
Yeah,
and he says we were hoping to bring tourism to Phuket with an underwater restaurant, floating hotels, and medical research tech jobs. We had three wealthy entrepreneurs in the past week tell us they were coming to live in Phuket because they were excited about the project. And he's got a promotional video on here where it shows them toasting champagne out on this stupid, like,
structure of some kind
thing. Yeah.
It's like, it looks like a big floating buoy. Well, I mean,
and he says, we're looking forward to freedom-loving people. Come join us on the open ocean. They were going to build a whole world out there.
Just a series of these. Well, I mean, look, I think this goes back to, one, I think we are so unhappy, which is sad because I think it's the best time to be alive by far in human history. I just think people are so miserable and unhappy that they are looking for anything to be a part of. They're just looking for something that is different than their average, mundane, boring Instagram sort of existence. And so they're like, floating island home, no rules, great.
So Thailand's Navy swung by and said, hey, you can't, what are you doing out here?
Yeah, that's a
no-go. You can't do this. And he's like, no, we're outside of your jurisdiction, bro.
And they were right.
Well, not according to Thailand. They are saying that the couple's outpost endangers national sovereignty. And they've charged them with Article 119 of the Thai Criminal Code, an offense punishable by life imprisonment or death.
Jeez. Seems a bit extreme for just, like, I thought they were doing, when I heard, like, life in prison or, like, death, I thought they were out there just, like, getting into some stuff, like some nefarious crap. And then we're like, ah, you can't touch us international waters. Sounds like these guys just wanted to hang out and do their own thing.
If they're caught, so they left. And if they're caught, there's no trial.
They're just, yeah.
Yikes. They're hooped.
Like I said, that international water thing is interesting. There was a case I read about just a couple weeks ago that a guy raped a gal on a cruise ship. She immediately contacted the ship's authorities. They pulled into port, their next stop. The police arrested him, took him to court, and the judge said that he had no authority, that it happened in international waters. He had no jurisdiction, and that it would be up to the country where the ship left port or where one of the two people were from. But that wasn't his deal, and he washed his hands of it, and the guy walked free. The guy got off, got on a different boat, and took off, and was like, "Hey, international waters."
He said the guy is saying that they're gonna come by and demolish his house that he had there. I don't know how he built. Like, they're leaving parts of this story out that fascinate me, and I can't figure out how he got that built out there.
My guess is that you probably just had a structure, you towed it out there, and then you take big weighted, you know, blocks or whatever that are attached to chains. You drop it down to the sea floor, and then boom, got a floating structure.
But look at that. It's not floating. It is stationary. Look at that. It's sitting on like pylons. It just, I don't know. I don't know how he had that built. Because it's 12 miles offshore. It's got to be deep.
Yeah.
Like, you go all the way down. I mean, like, how long is that pylon? Holy crap.
He's living the good life out there. I guess not really. Where do you go to the bathroom? I guess just the water.
It's small and weird looking. I don't know. That story's weird. But anyway.
Well, bottom line is, if you want to get into some stuff, take it to international waters. But not off the coast of Thailand, because they want to kill you.
Yeah. They're not having it. Your buddy,
Who, what? What? Are you
Bill,
okay?
Your buddy. Your brother.
There you go.
John wraps it up next on The Fan.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sakanik on 1080, The Fan.
Hello, come in. Whoa, come in, John. Hello.
Hello, are we there? Are we on?
Hello.
I think we're on.
Yes, we are. We are on. You are on the air, John.
Caller, we're on the air. I think it would be terrifying to live 12 nautical miles off the coast of anywhere.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, if you saw this structure, you would get what I'm saying. Like, somebody said, well, it's the same way they build bridges, you idiots. Well, no, I get that. It's just that...
It's just one guy.
It's one structure. Yeah. One, like, why were you paying all that money to go all the way down 12 miles out in the ocean, all the way down to the ocean to anchor this thing to the ocean floor for this little, like, looks like maybe 300 square foot octagon stupid ugly home,
like a little tent thing?
You're just asking for trouble out there. I mean, a storm, something. I mean, you're all alone. I think that's terrifying.
Yeah, but I if you're the sort of person that wants to live in international waters because you don't want anyone telling you what to do, that's a certain level of crazy. It's like the same guy that, like, moves out to the middle of nowhere, Alaska or whatever. Like, at that point, rational thought, to me, doesn't really come into play when you're dealing with these people.
Well, that's probably true. I think it's kind of funny that they moved out there to not have anybody tell them what to do, and yet they got told what to do by the Navy.
Well, because we all, like, this notion that that there's any place you can go where you aren't encumbered by some sort of rules and regulations.
Somebody's going to try to claim it.
Yes, it doesn't exist, right?
It's like Trump with space.
Space Force! Like, we all want to believe that there's, like, some sort of last undiscovered land where you can go do whatever you want.
Where, like, everybody's going to throw their hands up and be like, yeah, not mine.
Yeah, it's like
nope, not ours.
Well, even like the one donkey that went to that, like, North Sentinel Island, right? He was like, it's the last undiscovered territory. No, it's not. There's people there and they will kill you. Like, there's nowhere to go anymore.
Well, even if somebody doesn't own it, or, you know what I mean? Like, if somebody doesn't control it, they'll claim to.
Sure.
And you got a big fight on your hand.
It's like, do you think there are any, like little islands out there that have been discovered, still out there, or we know where everything is.
Well, we do know that there's a lot of islands that man has never stepped foot on.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of those. There's all kinds of wee little islands out there in the South Pacific and in the Indian Ocean.
But he's saying any islands that we don't even know exist? Yeah.
Do we know where everything is?
Yeah,
right now?
I think with satellites. With satellites, I think we've got a grasp on where everything is.
So what are the chances that, and I think this would be funny, what are the chances that you find a place, like you said, that nobody's ever been? So in the entire recorded human history, nobody's ever wanted it. As soon as you show up out there and want it, somebody else will want it.
Totally.
Exactly.
That's right. Unclaimed. Not so fast.
Wait, that guy wants it? Maybe there's something to it. We've just ignored for 3,000 years. Well, let's go get it.
Yeah, it's like that. You know, it's always been like that. It's just that now we have better claims to it. Like, we discovered America. Ah, there's a lot of people here. Yeah, but we discovered it, and we want it now, so get the hell off. Now at least there's some sort of, like, rules and regulations to stealing from other people.
Right.
Not out. 12 miles off inside of Thailand.
That's Thunderdome.
What?
Yeah. Would you rather try to homestead out in the middle of deepest, darkest Alaska where there's nobody, or 12 miles off the coast of Thailand where there's nobody?
I'd go Alaska.
Land. Give me land every time.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. We got to go. Yeah. Bye.
All right. Go Thailand,
what?
I guess.
What? No, you got stuck there.
No matter how crappy the land is, at least it's land and not water.
That's right. All right. We got to go. We are back tomorrow with more hot sports talk. 3-7 on The Fan. Good night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.